This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Futurology Show. I'm going to just make an apology in advance because I have a little bit of the winter blues head cold, so I feel like my head has been hit by a steam train, and I probably sound like one as well. And today, as usual, we have Brett Lindsay. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, everyone?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. Thanks to... Nice to actually have you again in the show today. No guest, but boy, do we have a show.
It's still special.
It is special.
I feel special.
It's always special, bud. So basically, you and I were chatting last week after all the excitement of Google I.O. And it was ridiculous, huh? But we decided that it's actually halfway through the year already and it's time for a review. What didn't happen, what will happen. So I think on that note, again, never like to break away from tradition, let's start with the app of the week. This week, I actually found an interesting app because I'm not a chef. I'm a cook. Okay, then you're going to love this.
Fantastic.
So the app is called Side Chef. Okay. Side Chef. And basically, it's a free app that's available on iOS and Android. What it does is it's preloaded with 2,500 recipes. But it has a timer and ingredients list function to it, along with video tutorials. So I know a lot of apps like show you how to cook, but what this does is once you've assembled your ingredients, okay, it's almost like having a GPS in the kitchen. It will basically say, right, take the ingredients and put them into the pot, and then the timer will start automatically when you click next.
Oh, that's cool.
So you know that it's 5 minutes. So, I mean, you can carry on doing
it. So everybody can cook.
Correct. Well, that's the idea. And I've just thought that...
Given so all you lazy husbands or lazy wives out there that thought you could get away with it forever.
I'm going to mute your mic because my wife's going to be listening and go, oh, you've got an app. You can cook now.
I love the website. It's got like frying eggs in the background.
Yeah, I saw that.
Don't you love immersive content? It's so cool.
I know, it's very cool. But I was just thinking we're coming into winter.
Yeah, yeah.
Up here in Joburg, we hibernate. So, stay at home, cook, and then
put
your technology. Well, yeah. There we go.
Boom.
So. Basically, and then, of course, you tick off your progress as you go along. So it's like a checklist with a GPS in the kitchen with videos. I don't know. I just thought it was pretty cool.
Check. There we go. We can feed your soul and your tummy on this show.
There we go. Okay. In this last week, a couple of things happened. One thing that did happen was Huawei launched their new P9 in three renditions.
Yeah, I've seen the billboards. Have you seen the billboards? Sorry to interrupt, but Henry Cavill and Scarlett Johansson holding the phone.
Well, they do quite a lot with their brand ambassadors. They got a couple locally. But you know what? I wasn't invited to the launch, so there we go. I'm not talking about the Huawei P9. Thanks for nothing. Okay, moving on. So we said at the beginning of the show that we wanted to start looking at some trends, that things that did happen, didn't happen, what we predicted would happen. We've got magazines here. How analog is that? I mean, besides the research, I can see you flipping through some of the mags. Anything particular that jumps out at you, B2? To start.
The one magazine is just the ultimate gadget gift guide from Stuff at the end of last year.
And okay, stop it. You're teasing me now. You didn't have to buy me supper.
It was really nice. But what was the coolest phones and what all those? These are things we're going to be talking about in the show. We'll tell you what, in December last year, what we had to look forward to then.
Right.
And then we've had SES 2016. We've had NAB. We've had Google I.O. We've had an iOS launch, an iPhone launch talk already this year.
Yeah, we had the talk, but I think it was on iPad. We've had Mobile World Congress.
Oh, we've had the SEs come out.
Yeah. So,
I mean, some of you may have forgotten about that already, but there was actually a new iPhone that was launched already.
Apparently.
Yeah, under the radar. But these are things we'll talk about, and then a lot of wearable stuff talk to.
Cool. So, basically, I think if we try to keep a bit of the theme of Google I.O., because, I mean, let's be honest, we scratched the
Still
surface last
on
week.
That one, man.
I think the start of the end of apps could be quite a nice discussion point for the what happened, what will happen, what could happen. Google has created instant apps, which we chatted about last week, and, I mean, that blew our minds away, okay? And I think it was you or B3 that actually said, well, that kind of goes towards the end of apps. Now, they were talking about in the last week when I was doing some reading, the Chromebook is coming out that's now going to run apps. So you've got instant apps where you can test them as a consumer. You've got Chromebook about to make, it's not debut, but it's going to become more mainstream, which will now run apps or widget environments straight out of Play Store without needing to download because of memory size. I think basically the last thing that would maybe put the nail in the coffin for the end of apps is bots. Now, yeah. I think, you know, Brett 3 mentioned bots last week. I don't know if people actually know what a bot is. So I think let's just quickly explain what a bot is. So a bot is basically a computer program or computer script that acts like a human. You can send a message to a bot and it can come back to you as if it was talking to you like a human. I mean, there's even voice bots as well.
Yeah.
I know that Brett's referral to last week is that the bank had actually started with a bot and played with a bot. The one that I came across this week, which I thought was amazing, is Skyscanner, which is a website I use to book my travel. They just released their bot. Cool. So instead of trying to work out like where you want to fly and how, you can actually almost ask,
yeah,
I want to fly here. And the bot will come back to you with the suggestions. Okay. And while you're there, you need to go here. And I think just to Karen explain what the bot is, basically you can ask a bot for a restaurant advice. Yeah. It'll take your location. It will talk back to you. It'll even read the reviews that it's picked up online through the various programs.
We've got a simpler, less fancy way of using a bot in the office. We use the Slack IM around the office. Yes,
well, they do. That's
right. And we've got a bot in there where the guys used to spend so much time arguing about who was going to make coffee for the group that they actually made a coffee bot. So you would type coffee into the IM and it would just spit back a random name now.
That's
so
brilliant.
It saves. That's a great thing about bot. It takes these mundane tasks or these, and it makes it sort of just a lot quicker and just these automated tasks that just speed up time for us all.
So, you know, this is the Futurology show. We sitting today talking about what happened, what we thought would happen, and what will happen. I don't see apps dying tomorrow,
no.
Not even in the next year or two. And I think things like banks and anything that requires some form of security will probably still gravitate towards the app as we know it. But with search and Google Voice and those type of things, with bot technology evolving, there's one called Clio. You can save, I'm going to say her, on your phone. And you can phone Clio or send a text to Clio to ask her questions, like where do I go for a jewel tonight or where's the best coffee shop. I think the warning you should probably explain to your significant other when Clio phones you back, she's a bot. Yes. And not the kind of bot that we've talked about with VR explicits. It's a computer string. So that's a bot. And I think, as I said, that bots will probably go a long way coupled with things like instant apps to remove the need for an app. In fact, someone suggested that we would probably get an app that's just bots. So you would actually open up the app and select if it's food, travel, banking, finance, burial services, don't know. And then then the bot would take over or it would work through a network of bots. So anyway, yeah, that was the interesting thing.
Cool.
And your side? One from your side on the predictions or new movements?
Well, the stuff that was really cool, some of the stuff that came out, the LG came out with a flexible screen at CES.
Oh, yes.
It was one of those weird things that only one person with the right white gloves could touch it.
I remember that.
And it was one of those odd things that popped up at CES. And then I see that Samsung have actually started playing with the flexible mobile phone. So it's nice to see that innovation that might seem strange at the beginning is actually starting to innovate into new products that could potentially find its way into the consumer marketplace, which is quite exciting.
Quite cool.
And that's the thing. Like, it's nice to look back every now and again and be like, oh, wow, this thing came out of nowhere. Well, it actually evolved. If you look back, it came from there and there and there. And there's actually a path from if you look back. But the nice thing about our show, Futurology, is that we get to try and forecast what that will do in the future. And I think this halfway mark of the year is a great place to actually be able to start doing that. And it's hugely exciting.
It is quite exciting. I mean, if anyone listening has any thoughts, they can obviously call us on 0861-555-189. Hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, etc. I want to go back to I'd like to address the Internet of Things, because that's something you and I were very excited about at the end of the year.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the year. See, I'm already at the end of the year. That is so moving in the right direction.
For
in
sure.
fact, I think it was a week before last, South Africa got its first Internet of Things venture capital fund. I don't know if you came across that article.
Missed that one.
I can't remember who the fund is as such, but these guys have actually put together a fund that will invest in startups that are specifically focused on IoT.
Yeah.
So definitely one that we caught and definitely one that's growing.
Cool.
There was a little bit of news this week that relates to Internet of Things.
I just want to take the break here quickly. Just
sure.
The definition of Internet of Things, for those of you that have maybe heard the term and have no idea really what it is, it's the network of physical objects, devices, vehicles, buildings, and other items that are embedded with electronics, softwares, sensors, and network connectivity that enables these objects to collect and exchange data. Now, the important thing about that, and we discussed it, I think, in that Internet of Things show that we did a couple of weeks or months ago at this point.
Months, I think.
Yeah, was that where the market is in this whole big scheme of things, and that Internet of Things is a great way of actually starting to dip into the market and seeing who's using what, how often do you use it, that big data starts to pile up. And we've seen a lot of guests that we've had over the months come on, and it's all about that big data. It's all about interpreting that data. But it's being collected through devices, through Internet of Things.
Well, the reason I brought that back to top of mind for me is Samsung.
Yeah.
Have actually done, I wouldn't say it's a 180. It's probably just another line item within it. But their latest fridge is not focused on the screen on the outside, but rather on three high definition cameras on the inside.
Yeah.
So, and if you think about the logic of that, it's brilliant. You're standing in a shop and you go, oh, I can't remember what I needed. Did I need milk or did I need cheese? Using your phone.
Is there a cucumber in the veggie
100%. Yeah. Now use your phone. Your phone links to the fridge, brings back the feed, and you can see what's going on. I mean, that's a pure IoT.
For sure.
The reason I also wanted to address is Tony Fadell. They refer to him as the father of the iPod. I mean, he was pretty much the instrument behind the iPod at Apple. He was headhunted by Google when the whole Nest acquisition occurred. So for those of you that don't know Nest is a little thermostat. I mean, in South Africa, we don't really have central heating and cooling, but it's a big thing in the Northern Hemisphere. So Nest sits on your wall. You control it with your phone. One of the things it does, which is a pure IoT rendition, is that it knows how far away from home you are and that you're heading home.
Yeah.
So it will automatically bring the thermostat back up or down accordingly, whichever it is. He's leaving under a little bit of a dark cloud. Guys are a bit mum on why, but the leave seems to be quite sudden. He's like on his way out as CEO, and they're bringing the guys back from Motorola. But yeah, it's just interesting that at the cusp of it, when it's really going down,
the father of this tech is.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's something to watch out there.
Now, touching on, you mentioned bots. Now, one of the things that people often get bots confused with is artificial intelligence. That was one of our shows that we had before.
Yes.
You still using Amy?
I am, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Are you?
No.
she messed up your diary.
I didn't get any beer o'clock in. I was like, come on, guys. You've got to leave time for the beer. So she was really efficient, but maybe too efficient for me. And I like that control. I'm a bit of a control
freak. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, once you can learn to release your diary, I mean, when you've had a real person that controls your diary, it is a bit easier. But what I did notice with Amy, and this is not nothing against her or her tech, or the tech, I should say.
I know, it was great, yeah.
The time zones, it just shows how important the global thing is. Her server sits and her nerve center sits in New York. So if you start scheduling meetings in the morning and you're expecting that immediacy of reply from the person you're inviting, you're not going to get it.
No.
Because Amy's sleeping.
Yeah.
It's the kind of assistant that's not on the job. But I'm sure that as they come out of beta and they've just got like, what, $20 million worth of Series B, I'm sure they'll turn their servers on
24/7.
Yeah,
but that's part of the thing that's happening in this day and age as well, is that we want instant gratification. We want the here and the now.
Definitely.
And if tech doesn't fulfill that answer, then, you know, it's lost its point of relevance already.
So what else have you found inside your magic?
Well, I came across the one magazine. The reason why I bought it is it's actually called The Very Interesting Magazine. Shameless punt. And if you guys are listening, we'd love to hear more of you because I love your magazine. But they actually call it Braintainment. And one of the things one of the things that they've got, and this was back in March and April, 39 ideas that are about to change our world. And they go through everything from the hydrogen station to how coffee power, so the leftover coffee beans are able to be transformed into what's happening with this waste and what are we going to do with it. And waste products from coffee making can be turned into biofuels. And that's great things that they're looking at. They start talking about the Hyperloop, and we saw that Tesla.
Remember that Hyperloop. Hyperloop. And in fact, remember how it went up like another 100 miles within a day of us talking about it.
Yeah. What's it? The
it's like 700 miles now instead of
Moore's
like
law of exponential growth and stuff.
Madness.
But there's great stuff. I mean, I'll use them as a couple of fillers. So we'll go through that over the next sort of 40 minutes that we've got left in the show, or 30 minutes we've got left in the show. Yeah. And yeah, we can chat about a few things. There's 39 things, I reckon, that are going to change the world's thing. We'll pick out a couple of those that are really, really good.
Well, there's one I'm dying for you to chat about, which you sent me this weekend, which got me into trouble with my wife, and it's going to get every other male in trouble with his significant other. Tell us about that new super toy that apparently is going to come out, what, 2017 or 2018?
The clothes folding thing. So if it wasn't... Everybody's got laundry day. Everybody. For us, I think it's Monday night and Thursday night. We get the laundry going and we're ready to rock and roll. And awesome. That's laundry night. And it's a bane of my existence because now there's freaking clothes all over the place.
I drink to that. Well, I don't drink to that. I fold laundry.
I'm sure it's the bane of my wife's existence. she's taken that one on. But one of the things that sort of gets unsung is, yes, you wash your clothes and yes, there's somebody that will iron your clothes for you. But in a lot of the first world countries, they don't have sort of domestic help. They don't have any sort of human being coming and actually helping them fold the clothes.
Yeah.
So this task is actually hugely bothersome. So wash your clothes. Now there's a device that will actually fold and iron your clothes or steam it and
steam
then,
and iron,
and then fold your clothes. So it's literally ready. You just hang them up. They dry. They come up. They get folded and they're ready to put into your cupboard all in one little device. So yeah, I'll tweet that just now.
I mean, that was incredible. And the price tag wasn't bad. It was like $700 or something.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, it's a bunch of actuators, but, so clever.
I know. So I'm definitely on the list for that. And
just another digital device.
Just another digital device. The other thing that I picked up on, you know, looking back at the year is towards the beginning of this year, or even at the end of the year. In fact, I think it was when we had the guys from Zapper in on the show.
Yes.
I was talking about how the banks don't play nicely with fintech. Boy, has that changed. You know,
maybe you had an impact, Brett.
I'd like to say it was all me, Brett. but basically, if you look at the news, if you read the e-zines, if you see what's going on, I mean, we had the guys in from Pocket Slips as well, backed by banks. We had B3 talking about Rise and how they're bringing these young guys in. So the whole banking industry has done also a full 180 when they've spent all their time and effort trying to close down the doors. They've now literally lifted their skirts and said, please come on board, come make us cool again. And we're seeing it. I mean, Absa did a bot last week.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And Nedbank were working with the Pocket Slips guys.
And this is the thing. So these guys are actually saying, hold on a second. If we don't get in bed with these guys, we're actually going to be homeless. We're going to be outside. And I tell you what they've been doing as well, which tells me the signs that they're now thinking totally digital and looking at ways of engaging digital. They're now making you have an online account. You know, my father-in-law called me and said, I need help. I have to set up an online banking profile because I can't get my statements and I can't transact without being online. I mean, you can go into brick and mortar, but you don't go in there to get a statement. No. They don't post them anymore. Yeah. You've got to get them using like a Striata reader or something like that. So that whole shift and push to digital is quite exciting.
Is your bank still charging you for online?
No. Does yours?
Well, it's F&B, so
no,
I don't think they do.
Well, they
online.
Do in your monthly packages. And
I'm
that,
sure it's charged somewhere. But
it must be charged somewhere. But
that was always the sort of argument early days of internet or online banking was, if I'm doing it all, why the hell am I still paying the fees for you to do it for me when I'm doing it anyway?
Yeah.
And it's nice that the banks are coming around to a way of thinking that it actually is consumer-friendly and customer-first. It's
definitely.
But that's become sort of what digital has been pushing this year, the last sort of 18 months. It's all been about how to push service delivery to consumers or to customers.
Well, I've got one more that I want to mention here while you find us another gem out of your magazines and your onlines.
Cool.
Fiber to the home. Now, we've been chatting to Calvin from iConnect. In fact, we're going to chat to him again just now.
Yeah.
But have you noticed the digging that is going on in this city? I mean, Joburg used to be like the city of trees.
Yeah.
Now it's the city of fiber.
Yeah.
And it is so awesome. And that's something you and I called also. End of last year, we said connectivity has to happen. Prices have to come down. And boy, is that happening. And it is awesome. I mean, just watching TV, the adverts are now all about fiber.
Yeah.
Magazines, all about fiber.
The irony there, though, the more people with fiber, the less people are actually going to watch live TV, and it's they're going to be so.
It's actually that
the advertising,
but you got to still get them to fiber, so it's brilliant from the actual provider.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah, you turn your TV and it goes, "What? You don't have fiber?"
Yeah, it'd be great to get some of the advertising agencies in there, any of your creative directors out there. What is your plan for beating this digital innovation and revolution that's happening?
You actually can't. I mean, it's a bottom line.
It's about embracing it.
100%. So give us another gem there of what we thought would or didn't happen, does happen.
One of the nice things, and I'm going to just read an excerpt actually out of an article here by a guy called Robert Goldman. Now this guy is...
it's the anti-aging dude, huh? He's sports medicine.
He's a sports guy, yes. So he's more qualified than most humans should be. But he's written an article called Future Predictions. And the nice thing here is just to look back quickly. In 1998, Kodak had 170,000 employees and sold 85% of all photo paper worldwide. Within just a few years, their business model disappeared and they went bankrupt. What happened to Kodak will happen in a lot of industries in the next 10 years.
Which we see. Yeah.
And most people don't see it coming. Did you think in 1998 that 3 years later you would never take pictures on paper film again? Yet digital cameras were invented in 1975. The first ones only had 10,000 pixels, but followed Moore's law. So with all this exponential technologies, it was a disappointment for a long time before it became superior and became mainstream. And in only a short few years, I mean, you look at, what is your camera megapixels?
Jeez, on the iPhone, I think it's like
a lot.
12, yeah. 15.
It's
on the
huge.
Sony, it's 21.
Exactly.
It's mad. And on the BlackBerry.
Exactly. So it will now happen, and then with artificial intelligence, health, autonomous and electric cars, education, 3D printing, agricultural, and jobs, welcome to the fourth industrial revolution. And
it's
he says, welcome to the exponential age. And that's really, really exciting, because I used to say that we're in the innovation age and the age of innovation. And that's really kind of true when things are changing so quickly, but they're changing so quickly that the exponential age actually starts to really sum it up a lot better. Can you sum up exponential? It's a lot.
Yeah.
And
but it also, it's a lot with a little input. That's what's so exciting about this period.
And that's what he's saying. It's software that disrupts the marketplace as well. And he goes and says, in the next 5 to 10 years, software is going to disrupt the traditional industries as we know it. So things like Uber being a software tool, they don't actually own any cars. And then you've got Airbnb, it's a software tool. They don't actually own any property. And it's those kind of crowdsourced and those useful software deliveries that are actually going to improve exponentially how the digital space is affecting the world.
Well, it's funny you talk about that with the smart cars and that. I made a note of that. Walmart has made a play in that space now, and they're going to take Amazon on. They've done a deal with – well, they haven't confirmed. They've done a deal with Uber and Lyft. I mean, typical American company, like, let's hedge, where they will now do online shopping of their grocery division, and I think it's like $7 or $10 a delivery, and it'll be delivered. So it's that same model, and there's that exponential aspect is that although Walmarts are massive and they have self-checkout and they have all the things that you're now saying to people, well, don't come to us. You're already shopping online. So now get your groceries online and we'll deliver them using tech like Uber.
Yeah. So watch the rise of logistics companies, distribution services, courier services.
We called that.
Yeah.
We said ages that. Ago, and we said, watch. That's the place.
But
to
we were talking about connected cars. I think there was that one time and they had just started doing that beta testing in the UK with the drone trucks.
Yeah.
And you get 10 trucks droned all connected and the lead truck does it all.
There was a negative on connected cars. Did you read that?
I'm sure there's a negative.
No. I mean, there's lots of negatives. I mean,
you can have as many great connected cars all driving safely, but it's when you first start driving, treat everybody like they're an idiot, everybody else like they're an idiot. I'm not in a connected car, and I can drive into a connected car.
Not only that, my father says to me, as long as you have a choice of between male and female voice guidance on it, because he's not going to get into a car with a female driver on it.
You already have a woman to tell you what to do.
Exactly. But what actually came out is that I think it's the FCC, it's the American like security guys, you know, like they're one of their watchdog bodies.
Yeah.
They've put a bit of a mandate out to, I assume, probably just Google and Apple for now, to say that they're not happy with the security protocols of these cars. And they're obviously thinking along the lines of hacking, attacking. I mean, you know, you've got important people.
Yeah.
The car knows where they are, who they are, what they are.
And more and more critical systems in the car.
Well, this is the thing. And, of course, with IoT, and we said in one of the shows as well, how many billions of devices would be connected, SIM-less.
Yeah.
You know, the connected car is a hell of a soft target.
Well, when you think about it as well, you could you basically download an app on your phone. Your phone becomes the key. Yeah. Your phone becomes the key. And you then have your interface through your phone into your car. And it's that idea of having this connected space again. So you're charging your phone. You're actually running it through your phone. But if you've got... So I drive a Ford, and I see Microsoft have got in there with their Microsoft Connect.
Can I cut you off there and tell you a little anecdote about Ford?
Yes.
So it must have been about, and yours, you use Sync, eh? In yours.
Sync,
okay. So it must have been about, 4 or 5 years ago, I was at CES in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they had the senior vice president of technology, blah, 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 at Ford, with a Ford there. And this huge...
I remember Bill Gates was...
No, I don't know if he was at that one. No, this was even before that.
Oh, okay.
And... He said, who here in the audience? He had quite a southern drawl, you know, like, who here in the audience would drive a Ford? And, like, everyone's looking around because no one's put their hands up. And he goes, okay, cool. He says, but I guarantee you that will change by the end of the presentation. And he did the presentation on Sync. Now, back then, it was a monologue screen.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the Internet of Things that we're expecting today. And he asked the question again at the end of the show. I mean, even my hand went up, you know, and that was... 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's what you were just saying now with the article you read, is that people don't realize how quickly this tech actually becomes. I mean, there it is. You're driving it. You've got
I mean, 6 months into this year, and there's stuff that we're seeing that blowing our minds.
Yeah.
And it's quite cool. Now, going back to the very interesting magazine, then there are 39 things that are about to change our world. The first one that they talk about is the hydrogen station. Now, they also give us the years away. Now, they reckon this is between 2 and 4 years away. The hydrogen station, Toyota's hydrogen-powered car, goes on sale this year.
This year?
This year.
2016?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Mirai boasts zero emissions unless you count harmless water vapor.
What's it called?
The Mirai.
The Mirai.
Yeah, the Toyota Mirai.
That's as bad as Prius.
So your next car, and the little subline is, your next car could be powered by a 2-liter bottle of ammonia. So get some handy-handy ready to rock and roll.
Or just get some snails and let them eat and fart. Oh, no, that's methane.
Could you potentially pee into your car now?
That's ammonia's pee, that's right.
But hydrogen cars are likely to remain expensive because, for safety reasons, hydrogen gas must be stored in a heavy-duty, high-pressure tanks. So scientists in the UK and UK science and technology facilities have been busy developing a low-cost method of extracting hydrogen from ammonia. So a 2-liter bottle of ammonia would provide enough hydrogen for a typical family car and could be stored at low pressure. So you go up to these, literally, H-bombs on tap and hope like hell they don't explode. But, I mean, I suppose you do that with petrol anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I still chuckle when I go into a petrol station. I see the no cigarette sign and the no cell phone sign.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't. I mean, there have been reported cases when the phone had, I mean, the cigarette's obvious, but the phone does trigger an explosion. How do you know, so they're trying to make a sustainable and eco-friendly product and so on, and they're saying it's going on the market now. But here's my problem with it. And this is like kind of one of the things with tech and us doing what we do and being futurologists that also frustrates me.
Yeah.
They make a statement it's going on sale this year. They then go on to make a statement that says, due to the fact that it has to be maintained and stored under high pressure, that tells you straight away, expensive.
Yeah.
Then I look at things
like... But that's
like,
why e-tolls are expensive, because the infrastructure is so expensive.
But who pays e-tolls? Okay, so we don't care. They can charge what they want.
Come tell us what your futurology plans are.
But to take them down and sell it as scrap metal. But the problem that like I have, so at the moment with BMW, they've got that ecosystem really well tapped.
The i3s, I mean, the i3 and the i8. The i8,
yeah, the phone controls everything. It gives you immediate feedback. It logs your reports.
And
it does
look
everything.
Good. They don't look like a.
They're not too
bad.
Look
like a Prius.
The i8 looks really good. The little i3 is a bit meh.
It's got to have something for the mummies to.
But 140k range. What am I supposed to do with 140k's? I can't find a charging station somewhere. Let's be honest, in South Africa, if we look for electricity, we're not going to find it half time the year anyway.
You used to drive a Jeep Commander?
Yeah, okay.
So I think
point taken.
We were both in one of those. I mean,
yes,
yeah, we had
but
a V8 engine.
I could still get 400 k's. I could make it to another petrol station.
You drive from petrol station to petrol station. So if you're driving from plug point to plug point, the benefit is there's probably a 15-amp plug somewhere nearby. You could just get an inverter.
You know,
maybe they're taking the Apple model.
I think the reason I'm hammering at it, Brett, is that because in 6 months' time, when we do this show again,
it's gonna
like
be
the
more
next
than
6 months,
k's.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Is that we know they're coming. We know. I mean, they're the Mariah, whatever
the
it's
Mariah,
called.
Yeah.
That's a stupid name.
It'll be called something better when it gets here, I'm
No,
sure.
I don't know. I mean, they never changed
it might not get
Prius
here.
Either. No, it will get you. I'm sure we don't have electric potential yet. We don't have the smart highways.
No.
So yeah, you know, it's exciting that these guys are launching this stuff.
Yeah.
But don't launch it and tell us then it's going to be expensive straight away, because all you're doing is actually quashing the technology. Like saying, yeah, well, okay, I'll go back to my petrol car.
That's kind of what we've got as well. I mean, we hype ourselves up when in discussions. We're always looking at what the new great thing is, and somebody comes and tells us like, yeah, but we heard about that 18 months ago, and like the hype built, and then it didn't deliver, and we're like,
Yeah. Look at 3D printing. You and I were chatting about this on Friday. You know, in the old days, you used to go to a CNC lab with a demo a concept, sorry.
Lots and lots of polystyrene.
Yeah, remember that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember, how long has it been since, they've probably been out forever, but I mean, since people started talking about 3D printing is what, 4 years?
It's probably about 10 years. I mean, they were really expensive 10 years ago.
Okay. But your desktop models.
Oh, yeah. No, probably about four or five years.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it on, I think it was on Take a Lot.
Yeah.
For like a couple of grand. Yeah. Little one.
3D Maker and all those things. Yeah.
I mean, that's fun. Three grand is fun. You can make a really small version of a prototype. Yeah. It's still to scale.
And the consumable plastic's not terribly expensive either, which is
A pen. Did you see the pen?
I did. I wasn't so sure about that.
I thought it was quite novel, but
I used to do that with my mum's glue gun.
Yeah, I saw how I draw, and I don't need to identify what it is I'm trying to draw in that model. Well, this is what we could do.
It's only a matter of time before some brother starts to glue his.
But isn't that where VR comes into it?
Eyes together or something.
I mean, isn't that where VR comes into it, where you can actually start using spatial recognition and that?
But they had this thing called the hyperbrush or
tilt brush.
Yes,
we're talking about the tilt brush.
Yeah, yeah. And that was fantastic. Yeah. Now, that makes more sense to me because it's a lot more amazing, I think. I think that immersive type of art, where I kind of see the 3D pen as a bit of a gimmick at this point.
Yeah, no, I think I agree with you. But now we spoke about the tilt brush, and I think for the last few weeks, as long as I can remember, even months, we talk about VR. I have to actually bring it up again because we called that as well.
I mean,
we said from augmented reality, we're going to go to virtual reality.
Yeah.
The fact that Google made the commitment on Daydream last week or week before, I mean, there it is.
Well, and GoPro have got an entire VR section dedicated to it. There isn't, I think most videos these days have got a cardboard feature.
Yeah.
So even if it isn't a 360 or VR, you can still watch it with your goggles on. That sounded old there.
Goggles.
What, your goggles?
Goggles. Blub, 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 blub. Here's my problem with VR. Not that I have problems with them. Here's my challenge. That's a better word.
Yeah.
One, here in South Africa still, bandwidth is very expensive and not
getting
fast enough. So that's where this fiber.
Yeah.
So again, this show in 6 months' time is going to be quite interesting.
Yeah.
But the second thing is the vertigo effect.
Yes.
The fact that you feel like suffering vertigo when you spend a few minutes or time.
What were you saying? When you can't see your nose anymore.
When you can't see your nose anymore. Yeah. You cut out your middle ear using headphones.
Yes.
You cut out your visual, what do they call it?
The
equator or horizon line or something. Yeah. And it does make you feel a bit. No, I mean, look what we did to your mate, the guy that works for you.
Yeah.
I mean, he was sitting there having like a little nightmare. Oh my gosh! So, for the listeners, we put a roller coaster VR system in place with noise cancelling headsets, and this guy sat down in the chair, and I actually filmed him. We got to share that video.
I'll ask him. I'll ask him.
Well, no one can see who he is. He's got headsets all over, but he was like holding on and going, "Oh. Oh, no, okay, I'm all right." I mean, it was like really, like this guy was like as if someone's sitting next to you on a roller coaster. But the point is that as awesome as their tech is, they've got to find a way where the comfort level comes in. I'm hoping Daydream does that. I'm hoping it solves it for us.
Yeah. Now, I think the 3D graphic world had a thing that, well, they still have a thing called Uncanny Valley, where the strive to make things so real makes them unreal. I think the thing that makes it real in real life is that we have imperfections.
Yeah.
You've grown some stuff on your bottom lip, and I'm not sure why, but you have it.
Oh,
there.
Oh, here we go. You've been spending time with my wife. It's called a soul patch.
Okay, cool.
And it's because I got soul.
I'm just jealous because I can't do it.
Oh, there we go.
But yeah, so we've got all these imperfections, and it's that kind of stuff that makes us human, makes it real, and makes it believable. So this uncanny valley makes it unreal in the search of reality. Now, there's a certain amount of VR that's doing that as well, where we're striving so much for VR to almost be a replacement for where we are now, that because we know it isn't, it fails.
I think you've hit it on the head.
And it's kind of like...
you've kind of got to be reminded of the reality. And maybe it's even simple things like screen inputs. You know, in your real day, or in your real life, sorry, whatever you're doing, there's an interruption. You get an SMS or you get an email comes in, or your wearable vibrates or tells you it's time to stand up.
And the camera can never be in the perfect position. That's don't always the thing. Have the sun above you. You can have lens flare in 360 VR. We don't mind.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I'm sure out of your studio, we'll probably start to see things, because I think that's the answer. Yeah. That reality, it's virtual. But reality, and I think the guys have missed the reality aspect. We're not getting that real
either
feel.
Pick reality or virtuality. You've got to try and
correct.
Don't try and hedge your bets in both.
And at least then your brain is prepped for it.
Yeah.
Any other nice little things that we didn't call or did call or
there's a couple
in the mag?
There's a couple. 39? A quick one. So computers made of water. Computers work by firing electrons around silicon circuits, but engineers at Stanford University have built a functioning computer that uses water droplets instead of electrons.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Water and electricity just don't even seem to make sense.
Well, they conduct really well. So it's hoped that the idea could be used to manipulate matter, perhaps leading to a miniature labs capable of carrying out thousands of controlled reactions. Now, they reckon this is 4+ years away before we go, but... You remember that show Beyond 2000?
Yes,
I do. Oh, it's a millennia. It's centuries away. Now we're like...
People better take their phones with them.
I bet you they kept adjusting this before the editorial actually got signed off. They were like 2 years, 4 years, 4 years plus away. Maybe we could do that. They'd go on and they talk about it. Number 6 was the Hyperloop. So they're talking about Elon Musk's dream of taking the Hyperloop in this 1,223-kilometer-an-hour train, which is now faster. It can get you from San Francisco to Los Angeles in 35 minutes compared to 7.5 hours on a regular train. So really just it's everything. It's about this getting faster, being more efficient, optimizing. And again, that's the digital landscape as we know it. It's always trying to get better. One cool thing that I really liked was the space balloon. Now, I'm probably not going to have time to get around all of these things to talk about it, but you can basically take a trip in a space balloon, big weather balloon, in this sort of camping caravan capsule. It takes you 32 kilometers above Earth, and you can. That's basically where Felix Baumgartner, end of 2014, I think, he jumped from
the Red Bull jump.
So he went about the same height as there. Now you can get a ticket, and they are selling this year, so you can go up in the space balloon.
Sounds like a Branson deal.
Yep, it's by a company called Worldview, I think. Worldview Enterprises are selling tickets for their space balloon, but the price tag is only 1.6 million rand per person.
I'll sign up now.
Yep.
Brett, you got to chat to Kelvin again.
Yes.
About actually bringing connectivity and
into
bundling
the business.
All right. So I think let's switch over to that, and we'll pick up on the flip side.
This is CliffCentral.com. Something important
to tell you. CliffCentral.com. Welcome to the Futurology Show. We had an interesting guest in last week, and it was Kelvin Collett, the CEO of iConnect SA. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Last week, we spoke about iConnect and some of its offerings, but more importantly, we spoke about connectivity, bandwidth, capped versus uncapped, all the plethora of content that's out there, what's best for who and how and why. And if you missed it, catch last week's podcast because it was very interesting. This week, I think we're going to be talking more about bundling voice and connectivity, that convergence, that unified offering that everybody wants from a business perspective. But I think it also has some play in the home as well.
Certainly.
So before we start, tell us a little bit more about iConnect, what you guys do, how you do it.
We start off as primarily a voice operator, but moved into the convergence space. And ultimately, that's driven by the fact that most consumers, businesses want a single service provider. We're in a complicated technology space. There's so much new stuff coming every single day. The guys just want to focus on their businesses and not have to worry about their technology. Pick up the phone, it must work. Go onto the internet, it must work. The Wi-Fi must be nice and fast, and so on and so forth. So our aim is to do and implement all of that and really simplify what the customer gets at the end of the day. And convergence is the driver behind that. You know, it stops the finger pointing. You no longer have a multitude of suppliers pointing fingers at each other saying, well, this didn't work or this is not working or whatever else. So ultimately maximizing uptime, which is what every single consumer and business owner wants.
Exactly. And when there's one person, there's no passing the buck. There's no blame. There's nothing else.
There's
and
no way.
You also know how to handle that customer, and the customer knows how to be handled as well, so they can come straight to you. The support is better. From a billing perspective, it's a little bit more transparent. You can see line item, I've got this, this, and this. But there are truly so many things available in today's market of how I can be connected.
So,
is it Wi-Fi infrastructure connectivity? Is it going to be VoIP? Is it going to be a whole bunch of things? But I might not know that. You do. And going through with this converged offering, you can actually go into the guys and say, well, this is good for you. This is good for you, which leads it more to an end-to-end solution.
100%. Yeah, and you just want to simplify it. I mean, there are probably a core of probably 12 products that every single business owner needs. They can go right into video conferencing at the high end. But your basics are voice, data, internet, PBX, some Wi-Fi, email. And those are the very basics. And then you get your value adds, which are virtual servers and video conferencing. But we provide all of that. And I think that's a critical part of it, is to be able to get that from a single provider and then bring the cost down. I mean, we're in a difficult time in the industry at the moment from a country. And I think it's great that we're able to bring those costs down.
That's excellent. I mean, internet connectivity, it's the way of business. It's where we are. It's what we do. It's what we're getting used to. And it connects us to the world. So here in South Africa, we're not just a little island. We've actually got massive connection and a lot of digital innovations coming from South Africa.
Certainly.
Now, with it being here to stay and businesses being able to grow so quickly because of digital optimization or savings and stuff here and there, how do you guys cater to the business market saying, well, yes, you've got a 25 gig or 25 meg line now, unshaped, uncapped, or maybe it is capped. How quickly are you able to move with the times or scale with the business?
I think the critical part of that is that South Africa has leapfrogged a couple of technologies. You know,
yeah.
It's actually paid. We've been lucky that we are a few technologies behind, because we've leapfrogged straight into the fiber.
And we've learned from everybody else.
100%. Yeah. So we're actually in a good space from that perspective. And then all the undersea cables connecting us up. So the cost of bandwidth has come down. I mean, we're starting to see that the cost of international bandwidth is almost exactly the same as local bandwidth. So our costs, input costs have come down. So from that perspective, you really can give the customer a complete offering. So to answer your question on the guys on the 25, we want to be giving them 100 megs at similar prices to what they were paying on the 25. And next year, hopefully give them 200 megs. And so keep sort of the pricing the same, but just give more and more value to the offering, and so that you can actually utilize the internet.
Excellent. And last week, I mean, the big question for everybody, and last week I asked it, I'm going to ask it again. How big is the pipe at the moment? What can I get in my business? If I wanted the biggest and the bestest, where does my business get to go?
A gig is the biggest pipe we can give you right now, but 10 gig is not out of the reach. Certainly available. It's just bandwidth at the end of the day from the bigger providers. You know, the switching providers are all able to do it. So 10 gig is not out of the question. But certainly right now, a gig tomorrow, we can hand
Excellent.
It over.
So the sky's the limit. I mean, if you need it, there it is. One thing we also spoke about last week was the bill shock. The thing that people are like, well, I expect to be getting this, and then all of a sudden there's 50,000 extra line items that I didn't think about, or the variable cost of maybe minutes spoken on the phone.
Sure.
Now, by bundling voice and data, we can have more fixed costs. Is that
completely? I mean, I think that's the aim at the end of the day. We launched a product specifically around that, which was completely unlimited. So unlimited voice, unlimited data and internet, included a hosted PBX extension in that. So you know exactly what you're paying per month, irrespective. You won't have any bill shock. And that's the way to go. I mean, guys want to know what their bill is at the end of the month. I mean, you've got six different providers, each with different one's your ISP, one's your line provider, one's your PBX provider. Then there's maintenance costs and all of that stuff. You just want to simplify it.
Exactly. Now, I'm a business, first time hearing about iConnect, and I've already got a PBX system, an old traditional line, old TP, OTP line in their PBX system, and I got 5-10 extensions in my office. Now, for me, I'm like, oh, crap, I've already got it. Why would I need something new that's maybe going to be better? Now, the savings are obviously going to be a lot more advantageous than the OPEX or the CAPEX.
Sure.
How do you guys engage with clients that have already got infrastructure that they've invested in?
So I think it's the scalability and flexibility that's the big driver. You know, you can suddenly have a whole host of services that you could never do. IVRs, music on holds, all of those kind of things. Growth. If you had a 10 extension PBX, you wanted to add one more extension, well, potentially needed more cards, upgrade the PBX. If you go hosted, you just need to add a phone.
Yeah.
And you want to go from 10 to 20 to 30, just add 10, 20, 30 phones. There's no limit to that. And that's a huge thing. On a multi-branch environment, even better. you can have a single centralized switchboard operator who can transfer calls from Joburg to Cape Town, Durban to Joburg, et cetera, et cetera. So really making the geographic locations of your branches almost irrelevant. And that's a big driver.
Excellent. Now, I'd like to talk about a couple of downsides, the pros and cons of why we should be doing unified converged, why we would need capped in our business, why we would need fiber to our business versus the ADSL maybe that I've already got. But before that, where do people find you guys?
Best place, iConnectSA.co.za. We've got a Facebook page and a Twitter handle.
Okay, and as with most things digital and convergence, the best thing to do would probably be to set up a meeting to talk about the solution.
100%. I mean, we really do believe in actually engaging with our customers directly to actually provide a proper solution. It's certainly not a one-size-fits-all. We have to actually spec it, and that's what that's a huge differentiator, is to actually provide a solution that fits for the customer.
Excellent. Well, we've mentioned a few things as to why unified and converged technology is a good thing. What are the downsides, the versus? So I am that 5-year-old company, and I've already got an old PBX system that was handed down to me, or maybe I bought it for a lot amount of money. What are the downsides then versus unified and old traditional line of data?
Old traditional, multi-vendor is the first one. Costs.
Yep.
So you're typically probably using copper, which they're stealing.
Yes.
What is the maintenance on that? Is it still going to be around? Is the flip side. Then on the other side, you've got your fiber, which is here to stay. Downtime, no one steals it.
Yes.
You guaranteed the speed that you're getting. So your question about like an analog is asynchronous, which means the upload and download are not exactly the same. Typically on fiber, they're exactly the same, so you upload and download are exactly the same. So you're actually getting a far better level of service on your connectivity. And then all the benefits and flexibility. You know,
yeah.
One of the other benefits around a hosted PBX or a converged solution is you've got an app on your phone now, so you don't even need a desk extension anymore.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can actually now connect that directly, sit at a Wi-Fi coffee shop, and
you're phoning as if you're from the office.
100%, and nobody knows that you're in a coffee shop. So it really allows the flexibility and for a mobile workforce. You know, we talk about mobile workforces. We see it talked about through Gartner and everywhere else.
Yeah.
But this is an enabler to that.
Well, that's fantastic. I mean, everybody's talking ubiquity as well, like take it with you. And now I've got my phone and I can feel like I'm still at the office. So that connectedness is really starting to work. That is fantastic. Now, you guys aren't just a startup. You're not a new company. You guys have got some really nice customers that trust you guys for their infrastructure. Are you happy to chat about some of those guys? I mean, let's get some credibility behind why iConnect was my company of choice.
Look, we've certainly got quite a few brand names out there. Probably we don't normally talk about the brands without sort of engaging with them first.
But you can check them online. If you want to go see who's there.
It's the safest place, check them online. Some nice big brands. And I think they've certainly driven our innovation as well. It's actually nice dealing with some retail stores as well as your more corporate guys, because it forces you to actually deliver the kind of products and services that the industry requires. And
excellent.
We've stepped up, and we don't have the red tape that the bigger guys have, unfortunately.
Excellent. So, but you guys enable us to actually stream from Cliff Central.
100%.
So anybody listening, you've got us to thank for the content, but you've got iConnect to thank for the connectivity.
100%.
So thanks for that, guys. It's a great partner to have if you're going to have an internet radio station, and great for those that are listening as well. Now, the show is Futurology, and the thing that we always like to look at is the study of the future. Where are we going? We've mentioned we're at a gigabit line. What do you see the business space or even the unified communication space doing in the next, say, 5 to 10 years?
I think initially the interesting thing is that we're certainly going to use more and more data.
Yeah.
Everything's going to go into the cloud. We're not going to have on-premise anything anymore. It doesn't make sense. The Internet of Things, so having all your devices connected from your fridge to your TV to your monitoring equipment. So if you're running a business, your fridges are monitored by IoT, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that as humans, we're going to disconnect a little bit more from our devices.
Yeah.
I think we're spending too much time in front of our devices.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get to the point to say, listen, We don't mind being connected. I think it's a very valuable tool. But do we really want to spend that much time in front of our devices?
Become very discerning.
Completely. So I think that's, we'll see a trend within the next sort of 5 years where we'll start to disconnect from our devices, but not be disconnected.
Yes.
So everything else will be connected and it'll make us more productive. But I think as humans, we have to start to disconnect from that.
Excellent. Well, with that said, though, people are still going to want to have that. There's going to be that ramp before the calm. There's that storm before the calm off at the end.
No doubt.
And with that being in place, there's going to obviously be some more players in the market. Now, that's going to start driving service delivery versus price as you guys go.
Sure.
Let's talk about that. How important is it? I mean, we're becoming discerning about how we're connected. Now we're discerning with who we're connected with.
It's all about service now.
Yeah.
If you're not going to provide a service now, and especially, you know, in last week's show I discussed going month-to-month contracts, that's the way it's got to go. And we've got to be held accountable for proper service. I think in South Africa we've been a bit slack on that, and we've got to up our game and up our standards. So I'm certainly excited about the next few years.
Yeah.
We're going to see some innovation, certainly from a technology perspective on, you know, Wi-Fi calling and those kind of things. Far more data utilization, and then more apps in the cloud. And as I say, more and more into the cloud, and that's what we're going to see. And that's an exciting part.
Fantastic. Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us in studio. It's always interesting to have you. And we look forward to having you in next week and the week after. We'll be talking about some other topics.
Brilliant.
But until then, guys, check out iConnect. This is the Futurology Show. We'll be back soon.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.
Well, that was great. Thanks to Brett and Calvin for that. I think I'm going to have to definitely do the next one. Sounds like these guys are having too much fun. I just wanted to finish off for the week with one last thing on what did and didn't happen in the predictions. I mentioned Facebook Live a couple of months back, that Facebook was even bringing the celebrities in to show them how to use it so they didn't do stupid things. Well, last week someone did something stupid. It was a varsity student went to a movie and activated Facebook Live to share on Facebook where he was and what he was watching. And of course, in theory, he filmed the movie. So he's doing a stream of the movie, and the cinemas are all rigged up for picking up this type of technology. So the question is, moving into the future, is Facebook Live is not going away. But are they going to make us leave our phones behind or leave them in the cars? Or is there going to be like little lockers that we can lock up our cell phones in? It's just all very interesting how this whole thing comes together. Anyway, until next time, keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny.
This is CliffCentral.com.